Let's turn in our Bible this evening to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. That'll be just where we begin, where we start. Hebrews chapter 1, we were looking this morning at the phrase in verse 3. I'll read the entire verse. It's speaking about Jesus, the Son of God, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this demonstration of your love and this demonstration of your mighty working in power to provide a way, the only way, through Jesus Christ your Son, to make a payment for sins. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will unite our hearts and bless our hearts in the truth of your word tonight and appreciation for the truth as we remember Christ died for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We see the statement in the middle of the verse that the Lord Jesus Christ, when, that is, at the point, after that point, when he had purged our sins, it was after he had accomplished that mighty work of salvation that he then ascended to the right hand of the Father and was seated in the majesty on high. And I want to look at that phrase, when he had by himself purged our sins. The word that's translated purged here is most often, and doesn't matter which translation, even in the King James and the New King James, it's most often translated cleansed or cleansing. And this word here, it could be translated the phrase having made through himself. The verb itself is in the middle voice, and so it's intensive. When through himself he made a cleansing for our sins. And of course, it's pointing to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary in shedding his blood to pay for our sins. And when we think about that, we think of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, where John writes that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sins. That's the same word, different part of speech, but it's the exact same word as we have in 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ is that which cleanses us or makes us clean from all our sins. Now, this word is used in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. I would like to ask you to turn there with me. Mark chapter 1 and verse 44. Because this verse is going to not only help us to see the word used in a different context, and it's used many times in the New Testament, the word cleansed. It's translated purged in my English translation in Hebrews 1:3. But here in Mark chapter 1, verse 44, and we alluded to verses 40 through 43 this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, just by speaking, cleansed a leper. Remember, he came to the Lord Jesus in verse 40, and he was asking the Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's our word. And Jesus responded to that with compassion. He stretched out his hand and he said to him, I am willing. And Jesus said, be cleansed. He spoke and he said, be cleansed. And we're told in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now that's what I want to pick up. The word in verse 44, cleansing, is the same word we have in Hebrews 1:3. He himself made a cleansing for our sins by his blood. He did that. And here, of course, what the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to is under the law, when someone had leprosy, and then they were healed of their leprosy, there was a whole process of cleansing. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 14 to see that. Jesus is referring this man who was healed to the instructions that are given in Leviticus chapter 14. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter tonight. We've already alluded to a portion of this when we talked about cleansing from leprosy in Numbers chapter 5. But I want to come back to it because of the instructions that Jesus gave to the leper who was healed in Mark chapter 1. Notice in Leviticus chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest.'" And that's what Jesus is referring to in Mark chapter 1. He's telling the leper whom he now has just healed to go show himself to the priest, and he will have to go through this process. Please notice verse 8, Leviticus 14, verse 8. "He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent," he can't come in his home yet, "7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair off his head and off his beard and his eyebrows, and his hair shall he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes, wash his body in water, and he shall be clean." Now, this is the outward cleansing. Remember now, he had the disease. And so there has to be an evidence that he is truly healed. And the only way the priest is going to have evidence of that is by inspection. He's going to inspect him. By the way, for those who've been with us on our Wednesday night studies, this is the same cleansing process for someone who had the Nazirite vow and was made unclean because he touched a dead body. This is the same process of cleansing that they would go through. So there needs to be an outward cleansing. Because it was leprosy, this involved shaving all his hair and washing with water, an outward cleansing. Now, notice verse 12, Leviticus 14, 12, "And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil," there's an amount of oil, anointing oil, "and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord." The priest would hold it up before the Lord. "Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering," that is at the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar. He's to bring his offering there at the brazen altar in a holy place, for as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Now note, verse 14, "The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot." Now here we have the offering, the trespass offering, and the shedding of blood, because this is a moral cleansing. The shaving of the hair, the washing with water, is an outward cleansing, a demonstration of the cleansing from the disease of leprosy. But there also needs, in order to be brought back into the camp, there needs to be the moral cleansing, and that's only done by the blood. That's only done by the offering. Now, in the Old Testament, the blood of calves and goats could not take away from sin. This was a provision of God to cover their sin until the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came. John announced to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so Jesus Christ, as the sin offering, has in his blood provided a cleansing that removes our sins. When he had by himself made a cleansing for us, that is, there is cleansing, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith in him, the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:7, cleanses us from all our sins. So cleansing is the blood of Jesus Christ to the one who receives Jesus in faith, the one who's born again through faith in Jesus Christ, that we read in verse 9 of 1 John 1, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Why? because this one has trusted in Jesus Christ, who has made a cleansing, a wonderful place of moral cleansing. How is that done? Jesus paid it all. His blood pays for our sins, and we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Just like the priest would put the blood on the one who was being cleansed to demonstrate that the blood had been placed to their account. Now, make no mistake about it. Putting blood on the ear, putting blood on the thumb, putting blood on the big toe did not do anything magical. It was a demonstration that the blood of the innocent lamb was being applied to the guilty one, and the innocence was now put to the credit of the one to whom the blood had been put to their account. And so when we come to Jesus Christ in faith, the blood of Jesus Christ is put to our account. He made a wonderful provision of a cleansing for our sins. It's a blessed and a glorious truth. So go to Luke 22, Luke chapter 22. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, before he was brought before the Jewish trials and Pilate himself, the Lord Jesus Christ that night met with his disciples in Luke 22. I'll begin in verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread. This is at another part in the Passover meal. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, I want you to partake of the bread to remember me, because this bread represents my body. And Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. Then it goes on, verse 20. Likewise, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when he took the cup, he used again another symbolism, even as he used the bread to remind them as a picture of his body, so now he took the cup and used it as a picture to remember the blood of Jesus Christ, which he tells us here was shed for you. Matthew tells us for the remission of sins, for the removal of sins. Jesus gave his blood, and in that blood he provided a cleansing for each and every one who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now notice here in verse 20, when Jesus took the cup, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Very important now. Jesus is now referring back to Old Testament scriptures. It's spoken of in Isaiah. It's spoken of in Jeremiah. It's spoken of in Ezekiel. I want to remind us of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. I'm going to turn there because I want to read these verses in Jeremiah 31. Jesus is referring back to the Old Testament. God had told the nation of Israel that they broke his covenant, the one he gave at Mount Sinai, so he was going to make a new covenant. It was going to be an everlasting covenant. It was going to be a covenant of peace. Different descriptions he gives in different Old Testament passages. Here in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, God says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, that's Sinai, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. How is that possible? In the blood of Jesus Christ, God provided a purification, a cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the promise of the new covenant. And in 2 Corinthians 3, you don't need to turn there, verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul says that we are ministers of the new covenant. And it is in the blood of Jesus Christ, Luke 22:20, that we find the provision of the forgiveness of sins for the new covenant. We see that here in verse 34 of Jeremiah 31, promised of God a forgiveness of sins. Now, before we leave the passage, in no way does the church replace Israel. We are not pushing Israel out of what God promised here. He said he would make this covenant in verse 31 with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There are some that say the church replaces Israel. Well, how do you know? It doesn't matter what I think. Notice verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts, that is Jehovah Sabaoth, is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. For how long? Forever. So if the moon and the sun stop and quit, then you can begin to talk to me about Israel somehow no longer being in that place. They may be under God's judgment, and the branches may be broken off because of unbelief, but as far as I know, the sun and the moon are still shining. And the nation of Israel is still God's chosen people forever. How do we reconcile the fact then that the blood of Jesus Christ, the provision of the new covenant, is what we are experiencing? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 makes it very, very clear. It's through faith in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we come near. We are brought near. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we are receiving the benefits and the blessings of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has placed the blood of his Son to your account, just as when Aaron would put the blood on the right ear, and he would put the blood on the right thumb, and he would put the blood on the right big toe. God has placed the blood of Jesus Christ to the credit of each one who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. And in his blood, we enjoy the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Praise God for his blessings. Israel will one day know this blessedness as a nation. It will happen. I don't have time. Zechariah 13:1, you can look at it later. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 11 so we can move into the part where we observe the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll close with this. First Corinthians 11 is the passage that I read. I'll read from it again tonight. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he tells them what he told in every single local New Testament church that God blessed him to establish. And it is a pattern that we should share with every local New Testament church that the Lord raises up. I'm beginning in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord, Paul said the source was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then the Apostle Paul closes by saying, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so the same thing that we read in Luke 22, it's recorded in Matthew, Mark as well, that Jesus gave to the 12, now when the Lord Jesus Christ was instructing Saul of Tarsus, who received Jesus Christ as his Savior, Jesus gave the exact same instructions to him. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we gather together tonight to remember that Christ died for our sins. And in his blood, he provided a wonderful provision of purity that we can be cleansed